Thank you so much, Asia. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us for the special call TCC meeting to discuss the 2050 MTP project selection and prioritization. That is the only thing we have on the agenda for today. But I wanted to know if we wanted to go and see, go through who all's on the call, just so we know who's in the discussion today before we get into it. So I'm Deanna, so I'm the chairperson for TCC and I'm with Chatham County.
Kayla Brown, I'm vice chair and I'm with Bike Walk Savannah.
Joe Longo with Federal Highway.
I'm Kanisa T from GDOT Office of Planning.
Hey, David McCurry, GDOT Office of Planning.
Jim McCurry, Georgia Port.
Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah.
Nathan Clark, City of Richmond Hill.
Mary Moskowitz,
Development Services, Effingham County.
Mary Moskowitz, Chatham Area Transit.
Wakota Wong, Corn PO.
Asia Herndon.
Oh. Yep.
Asia Herndon, Corn PO.
Kieran Caulfield, Corn PO.
This is Herod, Corn PO.
Leon Davenport on behalf of Pooler.
All right, thanks so much. I think that was everyone, but I wasn't keeping count. So feel free to jump in if we missed you. So I guess we can turn it over to core MPO staff to go through the materials presented.
Okay, before Genesis, Anna, and Asia begin their presentation, I would just mention that we did do a project selection. If you attended the core MPO board meeting, sorry, I couldn't because I'm sick from home. So I wasn't able to send that file to Karen to post attached to this agenda. But if you go back and check the Corn PO board meeting, we do have a project selection worksheet. If you allow me to show my screen, I can probably just open that up. Or just, or Asia, you can just open that Corn PO May 3rd meeting for project selection. And so you will see how we select the projects. So basically, we want to use the regional studies as the basis, the Coastal Empire study, that's four county, and the travel demand model, that's three county, and the regional, seems like I'm able to show my screen. Okay, can anybody see my screen? You see a worksheet? Do you see a worksheet?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not going to focus on the project, but I'm just going to focus on these are the criteria that we used to select the projects. So you can see the Coastal Empire Study, travel demand model, it's a three county. So if a level service EOF, it will be selected. And the Corn PO's 2023 Regional Freight Transportation Plan, that's also three county. And the 2024 congestion management process. And we also checked the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan and the Region Plan, because all of these are regional in nature. So if a project have several checks, you see this XXX, and they will have like higher priority. And then we use the other sub-area studies that are ongoing to confirm the needs. So that's including North Bryan County Transportation Study, Adam County 2023 TSPLOST, Belfast Keller Road Transportation Assessment, Effingham County Transportation Master Plan, STAR 307 Corridor Study, STAR 21 Access Management Study, and US 80 Corridor Study. We understand that Effingham County is updating their Transportation Master Plan, and I have scheduled a meeting with them this Friday to go over if they have any updates. And we also understand that Chatham County is doing three studies, President Street, STAR 204 and the US 17 corridor study. So So we have that in mind, but just want to let you know those sub areas just to confirm the project selection from this regional list. And also, this regional list just to add additional projects to the 2050 plan, because we already have some projects populated in cost band one, because we have like a project during Lazarette Creek Bridge replacement, Bull River Bridge replacement, and we also have like a Back River Bridge replacement. And we understand the city of Savannah actually got a grant for the reconnecting community for the I-60X removal. So that phase, the PE phase for that project is included, but it comes with its own money. And Georgia Ports Authority got the award for $15 million. That's for the charging and electrifying of the truck fleet over there. So that project will be included in it. And that is also come with its own money. And then another project we added in, remember we did the Savannah River crossing. We added the right-of-way phase. So that was in 2028. So we actually add that one in as well. So just want to let you know that we already populated the cost band with some project, with some existing projects in the pipeline. So basically we have about $100 million left in cost band one to allocate to specific projects, and about less than 500 million available for specific projects in cost band two. And then also less than $500 million in cost band three. But remember, cost band two and cost band three, we have to apply inflation factors. In cost band two, we will apply inflation factor of 1.6. And then in cost band three, we will apply the inflation factor of 2.28. So you really cannot accommodate that many projects. So what we did through this project selection is just to, in addition to those projects in the pipeline, so what other projects will be identified. So that's the process. And we went through this process. We got about 60 projects. And then we sorted these projects into two categories. One is the capacity building projects, and another one is operational improvements. Remember, we do have operational set aside about 12% of the total revenues for each cost band. So we decided not to prioritize the operational improvements because it's like, because operational improvements will not only rely on this prioritization, but mostly it's rely on the project sponsors. If project sponsors wants to start a project, then we can see it's consistent, with the long range transportation plan, because all of those operational improvements like signal coordination, intersection improvements, turning lanes, will be included in the vision plan. So the set aside policy for the operational improvements is as long as it is consistent with the like vision plan or freight plan or any of these studies that has been approved by the MPO. So that should be fine. So we just want to focus on the capacity projects. So we sorted about like 30 capacity projects by this selection. So as you can see, this is the top 30 over here. Most of those, not surprisingly, most of those are on interstate highways and U.S. highways and state highways. Some of those are much smaller roads like Gulfstream Road, and then Belkeller Road, etc. And Genesis and Anna and Asia were working on the prioritization of these projects. So our target is to, because I already told you how much money we have for each cost band. So our target is probably after we finish this prioritization process, we will select the top 10 or top 15 so that we can start to do the cost estimating and start to populate cost band 1, 2, 3 for the remaining revenues. So that's the overall approach. And then Genesis will talk to you about how she did the needs assessment. And Anna will talk to you about the resiliency assessment or scoring. And Asia will talk to you about the equity. I also want to let you know that when we do the prioritization, we also consider the performance-based planning. For example, safety. So you will have like crash rates or crash density areas or truck. And then for system PM2, you have like a bridge. And we did check all the projects over here. So there are only like two, according to our freight plans, so only two bridges under like sufficiency rating, and those are already being addressed. Those are the State Route 25 bridges, the Middle River Bridge and the Savannah River Bridge. So those are already being addressed. So we decided not to use that, but we do have like pavement as one of the criteria, because that is a system two, performance based system two. And then for system three, congestion. So we do have the congestion, so we use the congestion and the, what was the other one that we use? But we were trying to be consistent with the performance based planning system 1, 2, 3. And then we also try to be consistent with the planning emphasis areas, of the federal guidelines or federal planning emphasis areas. And one of those is resiliency, environment. So that's what Anna's focus is. And also another planning emphasis areas is complete street and then justice 40. So that's where the equity comes in. So I just want to give you this overall, picture, before my staff can just dig into the specifics. So, just want to let you know, this is our approach. On any questions or comments on this?
Only, Wakota, this is Jamie. I don't know if this matters or doesn't matter, but the $15 million grant for the zero emission vehicles, half of that is not to the Georgia Ports Authority. It's to a private company. So, I mean, maybe it makes no difference at all in the capacity numbers, et cetera, but there's only 7.5 that goes to the Port Authority, and it's for fuel.
Yeah, when we include the project, we don't consider project sponsors. It's just that money has to go through the FHWA process, so we have to include it in the plan. So Joe might be able to correct me, Joe Longo online.
No, that is correct. It really just needs to be in the MTP and TIP. I did also want to add that this is a really great project selection and prioritization process you have. You know, this is the recommended process. But yeah, that's all.
Thank you both.
Okay, so I will just give up my share screen so that Genesis can start her presentation. How do I? Stop sharing. Did I stop sharing? Okay.
I think I have it on my screen now.
Okay.
Can everybody see the project categories?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool beans. Okay. I did the needs scoring, so that's basically looking at things like level of service and how we're scoring things based on like the freight plan, things like that. So basically, I'm just showing you some of the maps we used. This is the level of service map, and we wanted to make sure that we had a weighting system that accounts for everything that needs to be put into the prioritization. So, for example, in level of service, ABC had a score of 1, B had a score of 5, and E and F had a score of 10. And for operational purposes, anything below a D is not something that we want to have that low for a long period of time. They're most prioritized, which is why they have a score of 10. Essentially, we looked at level of service, annual average daily truck traffic. So this is the freight plan. And this is probably difficult to see, but the thicker lines indicate more truck traffic. And so again, it's the same scoring mechanism. We want to keep the same scoring mechanism in order to make sure nothing's weighted more than anything else. So essentially 10 is the highest score you can get, 5 denotes the middle, and of course 1 denotes less emphasis. We also looked at pavement conditions, and this is again from the freight plan. Again, same kind of scoring mechanism. Freight generating land uses. And actually, State Road 204 is projected for future land uses to have more freight generating land use. But for right now, we go with existing condition. And this is connecting roadways that connect to those land uses. And these are population centers that are connected to activity centers. And of course, downtown Savannah is its own activity center. And then vehicular crash rates. This is pulled from the congestion management process. The congestion management plan has this particular map. And again, similar scoring mechanism as far as the crashes themselves and how they're weighted. Freight crash rates, we want to make sure that we account for truck traffic. Truck traffic is increasing, especially with the port growing and everything else. So we want to ensure that those are weighted into our scoring mechanism system. And then those are all of the categories that I'm scoring. This down at the bottom just shows how a particular weighting mechanism, but you don't have to particularly follow that. That's going to come later as Lakota decides how she wants to do all of the mechanisms in the future when we put in all the different types of processes. You got the needs, you've got the resiliency, the equity. So that's everything for needs. And of course, with this type of scoring mechanism, as Lakota mentioned before, the interstates, the state roads, the highways, those usually have the biggest emphasis and the highest weights. So that's it for me.
Any questions for Genesis?
I have one. So you were saying, so functional classification isn't really a factor, or I guess it's factored based on the volume.
Yeah, it's factored, but since most of the roadways have a high functional classification, it kind of is redundant. So essentially, most of the local roads are not considered except for the operational projects. So for the need scoring, since all the roadways are essentially a major roadway or close to it, if not an interstate, then it didn't matter as much and it was kind of redundant.
Thank you.
Okay, if no more questions, we'll just move on to Anna.
Hi, everyone. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. My name is Anna McCory. I'm doing the resilience prioritization. And so to do resilience, I was following the FHWA framework for adaptation and assessment. And so FHWA, just starting out, defines vulnerability as the degree to which a system is susceptible to or unable to cope with adverse effects of climate change or extreme weather events. In the transportation context, climate change vulnerability is a function of a transportation system's exposure to climate effects, sensitivity to climate effects, and adaptive capacity. So I just want to quickly define these for you. So exposure refers to whether the asset or system is located in an area experiencing direct effects of climate variables. Sensitivity refers to how an asset or system fares when exposed to a climate variable. And adaptive capacity refers to the system's ability to adjust or cope with existing climate variability or future climate impact. So the FHWA framework, it follows six different steps. I'm going to go through those kind of quickly today, but the first is setting your objectives and defining your scope, obtaining asset data for a vulnerability assessment, obtaining climate data, assessing vulnerability, identifying, analyzing, and prioritizing adaptation options. And incorporating assessment results in decision making. All right. So this framework here, you often see it in vulnerability assessment documents. So we'll just be going through that a little bit today. So this process actually started back in December of 2023 and has been ongoing through this month. And we relied on guidance from assessment team of MPO staff, planners, engineers, emergency management professionals, GIS analysts, resilience managers, and community representatives. So you can see here we have quite a range of people from the MPO region with different backgrounds who gave input on this vulnerability assessment into factors that should be included. So representatives from each county, multiple municipalities, we have planners, engineers, like I said, GIS technicians, and we also have an environmental justice specialist as well. All right, so again, we started meeting in December to start thinking about our goals and objectives, and that has gone through this month. We had our last meeting last Friday to just review our initial results. Some of our objectives in scoring these projects were to understand and score the vulnerability of projects listed in the 2050 MCP at a macro level to changes in temperature, precipitation, sea level rise, storm surge, and wind. And then also want to further investigate how this transportation system is contributing to the vulnerability as well. We're only going to focus on objective one here. So step two was obtaining our asset data. Assets refers to transportation along like transportation modes, so highways, ports, docks. We only included roads, and we had a project list of 30 for the MTP. Step three is obtain our climate data. So a climate stressor is defined as an external change in climate that may cause damage to the transportation system. Our assessment team chose 5 climate stressors to include in this assessment: temperature, precipitation, sea level rise, storm surge, and wind. Primarily used the Climate Mapping for Resilience and Adaptation Assessment Tool and NOAA as sources of data. So you can see here, my sources of data, these are trusted sources, and they are national data sets. So we're looking at using a low emission scenario for 2050, for temperature and precipitation. For sea level rise, I used an intermediate 2040 scenario, so 1 foot of sea level rise. For storm surge, I used a category 3 hurricane. And for wind, we used information based on a historical record, from the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport database. All right, so getting into it, we're assessing vulnerability. I know that's a lot of background information, but it's important for the setup. I used the FHWA Vulnerability Assessment Scoring Tool, or VAST. VAST was originally developed to help state DOTs, MPOs, and other organizations implement an indicator-based vulnerability screen. And so I met with FHWA staff throughout this process, and VAST was chosen because it has a replicable methodology and user guide with step-by-step instructions. It's a macro Excel sheet. And so this helps to provide a baseline of projects and identify knowledge gaps as well. Again, this can be replicated so it can be used in future MCP updates. It uses an indicator approach. So indicators are representative data elements that can be used as a proxy measurement of the overall exposure sensitivity or adaptive capacity of a specific asset. Indicators are a low-cost way to score and rank transportation assets for vulnerability based on data availability and utilize quantitative data and projected climate stressors. All right. So this is the process of VAST. It looks very similar to that FHWA framework where you're selecting your climate stressors and asset types, you're entering it into the tool, and then it breaks it down into exposure, sensitivity, adaptive capacity, and you have options to adjust scoring as needed, and then you get your full vulnerability results, and it comes out in a nice dashboard. All righty. So for exposure, again, exposure is the nature and degree to which an asset is exposed. All right. And so we created scoring definitions of 1 through 4, where 1 is low likelihood of experiencing the stressor, 4 is high. And so here are our indicators for the exposure element. So included in this for temperature are change in total number of days a year above 95 degrees Fahrenheit. change in annual maximum temperature 5-day average. And in this table, you can see the stressor, R method, the data source, the value, the score, the rationale for doing this, and then the weight as well for each stressor. For precipitation, we chose if the current location is in the 1% annual chance floodplain, also known as the 100-year floodplain. Change in number of consecutive days with precipitation, change in total annual precipitation. For sea level rise, we looked at the modeled sea level rise inundation depth and elevation. For storm surge, we looked at inundation depth using national storm surge risk maps. For wind, observed wind records of average speed and highest wind speed recorded. All right. For sensitivity, again, this is the degree to which an asset is affected by climate-related stimuli. So one being exposure would cause minimal damage or disruption. Four being exposure would cause severe damage and associated long-term disruption. This is where we had a little bit less data. However, for temperature, we use the truck traffic because if a road or bridge experiences high volumes of truck traffic, it may be compromised in integrity under extreme temperature conditions. For sea level rise, we looked at soil drainage and tidal flooding. For wind, looked at overhead power utilities because if there were a power line that were to go down, it could cause disruption. All right, and last, for adaptive capacity, again, this is the ability of a system or asset to adjust to climate change to moderate our potential damages or to take advantage of them. One being damage or disruption of the asset would have a minimal effect on activity in the core MPO region, whereas four is damage or disruption to the asset would have a severe effect on activity. And so for this, we use GDOT functional classification, whether or not it's an evacuation route, the annual average daily traffic, and access to critical facilities, those being emergency operation centers, courthouses, local law enforcement, fire stations, EMS stations. All right. So the results. Our greatest vulnerability is to sea level rise and temperature for these projects. The least vulnerability is to storm surge and precipitation. And so here I just have the top 10 most vulnerable assets to each climate stressor. And so this is a combination of, again, the exposure, sensitivity, and adaptive capacity scores. And so the higher the score, the more vulnerable an asset is. We have here the most vulnerable assets to sea level rise, storm surge, and wind on the bottom. All right. Almost done here. And then step five for the FHWA framework. Haven't gotten quite to that yet, but number six, incorporating assessment results into decision making. So because VAST gave us a continuous range of scores with values from 1 to 4, these scores needed to be converted to a 1 to 10 scale to be consistent with the scoring from tiers 1 and 3. So I used a discretization method to convert those scores, which, as you can see here, if it's, you know, below 1, the MTP score is 1. If it's 3.5, 1 to 4, it was a 10. And it was kind of binned evenly throughout. So you'll see those scores throughout. And then, again, this is just to see what, you know, if the score in VAST for temperature was 1.83, then it might be a 5 here. And that is what I have for you today.
Any questions for Anna?
Hey, this is Joe. I'm still reviewing the draft that was sent to me. My only question is the consideration of transit assets. I'm not asking you to rerun the VEST assessment for these assets, but just to take into consideration, you know, the impacts on operations, flooding of bus storage, you know, things like that.
What do you, I'm sorry, can you clarify that question?
Yeah, that didn't come out right. It's not really a question. I'm more just emphasizing the need to include multimodal assessments. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be in the VAS tool, but this does seem very highway focused. And it is a multimodal plan.
This is for the MTP projects that we are scoring, which
right.
are all.
Yeah, I guess that's a comment more for the draft chapter.
I think equity has a transit connection criteria. So equity scoring that Asia is doing also ranks these like 30 projects. And transit connection is one of those criteria.
Okay.
So maybe, and maybe for some clarification, today I think we are just ranking the highway and projects, correct? There's a separate ranking for the transit of projects.
Yeah, these yeah. are the projects that are focusing on the money come from FHWA. Yeah, but the transit has its own project list. The transit capital improvements, Mary has already provided a list. But I understand Joe is understanding, Joe is probably trying to make connections. Like, for example, if you have State Route 21, you have a transit route. US 17, you have a transit route. So he's trying to make the connection between the highway side and the transit side.
Also, I'm also simultaneously reviewing the resiliency chapter, so I think I'm just getting a little mixed up here. But no, thank you for the explanation.
Yeah, let's if you don't have questions, let's move on to Asia, and Asia's presentation might address your concern, I think.
Hi, everyone. Let me start sharing my screen. See. Okay, the document should say equity scoring and prioritization methodology. Is everyone seeing that?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So to go into the equity scoring and prioritization, the aim of this method is to prioritize and score projects based on their ability to improve safety, accessibility by multiple modes of transportation, and connection to critical facilities. And I'll define what critical facilities means in the equity scoring system further down in this. So the measures that were considered were transit connection and accessibility, which kind of hits on some of the questions that Joseph had, bike and pedestrian improvements within these projects, connection and accessibility to critical features and facilities such as grocery stores or schools, Title VI and environmental justice considerations, and then safety. So moving into it, why were these measures chosen? So we chose to measure the projects based on these equity measures just because there's strong evidence to support that they do improve equity. For example, within safety, there are a lot of great resources with the FHWA that shows how certain infrastructure features can improve safety. And since there's a lot of evidence to support that, we thought it was important to include it into the equity scoring system. Additionally, the data sets for these scoring measures were easily accessible. And then the analysis based on these scoring measures were simple to do within the scope and time frame of the overall project. And I decided to note that just because equity sometimes is a complex problem to approach, especially trying to conceptualize taking these projects and their descriptions and scoring them based on something that's pretty large. And so it was easy to narrow it down to these factors above. And then also important to note, interstate and freeway projects receive a score of 0 in this framework. And this is due to the increased national and local focus on reconnecting communities and neighborhoods. And just because freeways and interstates have a tendency to disconnect communities and are also inaccessible to people that do not own or cannot operate a vehicle. So in terms of the process and how a score was actually applied, there were multiple methods, such as reading the project descriptions, and those were reviewed to find equity improving elements. So we were looking for elements such as the inclusion of bike and pedestrian improvements, safety improvements such as medians, roundabouts, and R-cut intersections. And these elements specifically were prioritized because of the FHWA proven safety countermeasures, and I put a link here to those proven countermeasures for anyone that wants to review that. GIS and proximity was used, so close proximity to the features that I will discuss below were prioritized higher and received a higher score. So just to go into that more, we used census tract data that was downloaded from the USDOT ETC Explorer, and we used that to determine if these projects were serving census tracts with high percentages of zero-car households and poverty. And so within this framework using GIS, if a project intersected with a census tract with a high percentage of zero-car households or high poverty, and they also had bike and pedestrian improvements, those projects received a higher score. Crash points were also a consideration within this, specifically pedestrian crash points. So the goal of this was to prioritize projects that include bike and pedestrian improvements near places that experience those pedestrian crashes, and thus providing the infrastructure that can make roads safer. So essentially, if a project had bike and pedestrian improvements and was also intersecting with a crash point, it received a higher score. Also, critical facilities were considered, so proximity to grocery stores, hospitals, libraries, and schools were considerations within this. And then I've listed explanations as to why I kind of zeroed in on those. Just because food is a major equity issue, access to healthcare is a major equity issue. Libraries are vital resources for the community, as well as schools. And then missing from this is also proximity to transit. So we also have a, within GIS, we have transit stops and then transit routes. And so we also considered a project's proximity to those transit routes and if they have bike and pedestrian improvements. Just so within this framework, the projects that have bike and pedestrian improvements that also intersected with transit were scored higher. And I have this explained a little bit down here with our scoring table. So transit connection, this is how the question was laid out. So does the project have bike and pedestrian improvements? If yes, you move on to this scoring system. If no, it gets the automatic lower score, which is one. And so if those projects have bike and pedestrian improvements and are in close proximity to transit, they receive a higher score the closer they are to that transit stop. We also have bike and pedestrian connection and accessibility, and so we wanted to see, do these projects include bike and pedestrian improvements? If yes, they get 10 points. If nope, it's an automatic lower score of one. And then additionally, we're using the same 1 through 10 scoring framework that Anna and Genesis used here. So the highest score you can get within this framework within each question is 10 points, and then the lowest being one, except for those interstate and freeway projects, which get an automatic zero. And so here we have our critical facilities. So the closer a project is to a hospital or a grocery store, a library, or a school, the higher score it receives. And then within our environmental justice consideration, we chose a poverty line. And so if the project has bike and pedestrian improvements and it's intersecting with an area of high poverty, it received a very high score. And if it did not, it received a lower score. So safety, we have medians, roundabouts, R-cut intersections, and then also bike and pedestrian improvements and also intersecting with that crash point. So if it includes any of these, like in the project description, it makes note that there will be a median or there will be a roundabout or there will be an R-cut intersection, it gets a score of 10. And so that's the end of the section. So the scores overall are attached to the agenda. So you can see how the equity scores played out. But that is it for me. Are there any questions?
Joe, did Asia answer your question?
Yes. And don't get me wrong, this is all really great. I'm just trying to do my best to, you know, consider FTA because they don't have the staff capacity to attend these meetings. But no, no questions, no concerns.
Great.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, Asia, please bring up the worksheet. Mm-hmm. So the TCC members can review the scores.
Should I bring up the Excel spreadsheet so that I could lock this first panel and then?
Yeah, that might be better.
Okay.
So that I know which project, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop showing, sharing while I bring that up.
Well, Asia is doing that. I do need to ask. I think the President Street, that one, might be carried over to 2050 plan, but we do need a project cost estimate for that one.
I got that on Monday. I'll email that to you right now, Lakota.
Okay. And then another one is the I-95 at Airways Avenue, because that one is already in the scoping phase or preliminary engineering phase. So who is online for the Savannah Airport Commission? Because we need to get a cost estimate for that. I had a meeting yesterday with the previous consultant who developed that SPUI concept. So currently in the 2045 plan, we have about $30 million, but depending on the final concept, that number will change. I don't think 30 million is enough. So we also need that information. For the US 17, still around 204 and the President Street, if you have like operational improvements, and we will include the recommendations into the vision plan. So it's the, if you have something major capacity, just let us know at this point.
Is the spreadsheet visible to everyone? It should be an Excel spreadsheet.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
H, I think you might want to lock the first three columns because that have different segments.
The first three. Oh, okay.
Yeah, first three. Yeah.
Hey, Asia, that road redundancy consideration needs to be deleted.
Oh, okay. Let me see.
Because that's probably going to, yeah, we took that out.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So it's only letting me lock the first pane. I'm not. Okay. Unfreeze panes.
Okay. Anna mentioned that we deleted the road redundancy. Is it because we decided it wasn't a very good measure because we had an internal meeting yesterday. We decided that one and the bike crash and pedestrian crash. Wouldn't it be because for the bike crash, you only have two roadways, two projects that have bicycle and pedestrian accommodations. So we decided those were not good measures over here. And then for the road redundancy, we decided it's not good measure. But however, if we have a tie or if we do like call for project in the future, you have a more specific project, we can add those back. But right now, we are deleting those three columns because we don't feel that they make a lot of sense over here in terms of this 2050 MTP prioritization. Just want to be transparent with you.
Let me see if I could Is this an easier way to see the scores?
I think that, well, we can see the scores this way, but I think TC's members might want to like refer mm-hmm. to specific scoring so we can go back to the previous screen.
Okay.
Based on, yeah, the needs or residency or
whatever. Okay.
Okay, show that screen, the total scores. So sheet one.
Oh, sheet one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the total scores. Can we sort by the total scores?
Sort in what way?
Descending order.
Okay.
You probably need to... You need to get all of those. Yeah.
All of them sorted.
If you hit the little triangle on the top left, it will freeze everything for you to filter it.
Top triangle. Oh, okay.
Yes, that thing right there. Yes.
Oh, okay.
It should.
And then sort.
Sort by.
I can stop sharing while I try to figure out how to sort it.
Asia, if you just select from row 5 down, you should be able
to just sort. Okay.
Yeah, because I think it's that the project name one is like 3 or 4 rows.
Okay. I think that worked. Or no, it did not.
You can add a row above row 5 and then use that as your first row. Sorry.
It looks like it alphabetized the project names, but it's not sorting the numbers. It's not. Let's see.
You click on filter.
Yeah, or if you just sort that column D and expand it out, when you have the, it'll give you an option. Do you want to expand? And then.
Oh, okay.
It should give you an option to expand.
Okay, there we, I think, well, no, because now I'm seeing 73 up here.
It looks like just that first one is misplaced.
Okay. Not sure why. So besides this one, it looks like these are the scores from lowest to highest.
Yeah, that's fine. So Effingham Parkway, that's lowest. Yeah, because we already have Effingham Parkway under construction. So these are like newer than that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the highest is, SR21 widening.
SR21 widening. Okay. Yeah. So TCC members, when you see this, I mean, does it make any sense to you? The scoring?
Do y'all notice a geographic pattern here?
It's on the west side.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Which is where most of the projects are.
Yeah, because we rely on the like Coast Empire study and the freight plan, and those are more focused on the freight side. So for the freight side, definitely more projects will be on the west side. But remember, we also have operational improvements and maintenance projects. So those probably will be spread out on the whole region.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, and also we already, we're just talking about the new projects now, because we already have some projects in the pipeline that in like center, like Project Durain, you have, Let's Rattle Creek. So we already have some of those projects in the main area, but this is definitely like geographically, yes, it's more towards the west. Yeah. Okay. Does the TCC feel comfortable that we just go with from this prioritization list, or do you want to revisit the list to see which one makes sense, which one doesn't? Deanna?
If there's no additional discussion, I feel like the information presented here and the scoring criteria that you all presented, this list makes sense. I guess it just depends. Do any of the members feel that, is there any other conversation about this list as it's presented? Doesn't seem like there is. So yeah, it seems like we feel comfortable with the information and the list as it's presented to proceed with it as it's presented to us.
We also have additional consideration if you go back to the scoring sheet. So if it's already consistent with 2045 plan, so we might think or if it has higher BC ratio. So those would be the additional considerations. Or if you have additional funding source, basically if you come with your own funding source, it will be a higher priority. And also we want to check the project status. If the project is already in the pipeline, if it's like PE or scoping is already programmed, it will be considered. So I think, for example, the I-95 at Airways Avenue, I don't know what the final score looks like, but if it's not high, but it already has the PE phase, it probably will be included. So we will take a look at this. And President Street is already in the 2045 plan, so it might be carried forward as well. So we just want to make sure that we do have all of these additional considerations that staff will have to review. But if all the projects selected on the west side, I mean, that's where the developments are. So do you feel comfortable that we will start with the like top 10? So that we do the cost estimating to see which cost band we can fit in.
This is Steve. I'm fine with that. Yep. I'm good with that.
Okay. Will we just proceed as directed? Deanna, do you think we need another special call to TCC meeting, or can we, when we populate the 2050 financial plan, And we can just email to all the TCC members, so just give us the comments, and we will also send all of this information is already online, so you can just review it and let us know what additional comments that you have. But do you want to do another special call to TCC meeting to review that draft fiscally constrained 2050 plan, or you think the June TCC meeting will be sufficient?
I think the June TCC meeting will be sufficient. If you can, give that out to us ahead of time in case folks have comments, I think that'll be sufficient for us.
Okay. So, why don't we just ask the TCC members to review the attached information for this meeting, including the project selection, file, on the May 3rd agenda, and give us back the comments by, say, next Tuesday? Would that be okay?
That sounds good, Wakoda. By next Tuesday, so it's going to be May 21st.
Yeah. And then we will start to do the cost estimating for the top 15 projects over here to see how they can fit into the fiscally constrained plan. And then we will present that. And then when we have that list, and then we will send to all the TCS members probably at the end of May or beginning of June, so you can review it. So at the TCC meeting, we can have a like more robust discussion on that.
Sounds good. I do have one request. Can you update the file that's presented on the website? I think it still includes the road redundancy consideration that you said you're going to exclude. So if you can just make sure it's the most up to date.
Yeah, we will clean this up. Okay, if that's the plan, then we'll just go ahead with the plan. And thank you for everybody who are attending this meeting.
Thank you all so much for gathering this information and present for us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.